is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The New World Report with Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society. Immediately, there is startling news in the New World. A new president of Colombia, Gustavo Petro, elected June 19th, now inaugurated, now the active president of a country that has been closely allied with the United States for many decades, more than a century. And yet, there are significant events that we need to explicate carefully. First, a ceremonial event that has great meaning. Joseph, during the inauguration process, the new president, Gustavo Petro, ordered the sword of Simón Bolívar to be taken from the National Museum and brought to him in front of the crowd to great applause. I read that Simón Bolívar's sword was stolen by the M19 guerrilla group that was associated with Gustavo Petro many decades ago. Simón Bolívar's sword was important to Iván Duque and other leaders for these many years of solidarity with the heritage of the New World. What is the significance of Petro, President Petro, directing it to his inauguration? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. First of all, I think this is a very significant event that happened during his inauguration. First, because this is exactly what Hugo Chavez did in Venezuela. He also brought the sword of Simón Bolívar over to the presidential palace during his inauguration in the early part of the century. But as you mentioned, I think this signifies or symbolizes kind of a full circle of Petro's career, essentially, if you want to call it that, but moving from a terrorist, someone that was involved in violent actions, including this action, to and maybe not violent in terms of any deaths or things like that in this case, but stealing the sword from a military base, that counts as kind of a violent act. You had to break in and take it, and then symbolizing how that's transforming now into political power, reaching the highest office of the land. I want to make a point on this, John, because this to me is one of the core problems that we're seeing in Venezuela, in Colombia, in the entire of South America, and even parts of Central America, is this kind of romantic view of the past and manipulating history of revisionist terms of how history was wronged. And this Simón Bolívar is probably one of the biggest historical figures in Latin America that's been essentially rewritten in ways that were never intended to be that way. First of all, the reason they use Simón Bolívar as a symbol is because he created basically, he was on the way to create an empire in South America. It was called the Great Colombia or the Gran Colombia. And he wanted essentially to integrate Latin America under authority dictatorial rule. He liberated Latin America from Spanish conquest, but only to essentially try to attempt to create a new empire under Latin American conquest, or in this case, Venezuelan conquest. But he was stopped. And this is the most important part, John. He was stopped. Why? Because Colombian historical figures such as Francisco Santander or Venezuelan historical figures such as José Antonio Páez said, we don't want another empire. We separated ourselves from the Spanish because we didn't want this type of autocratic rule. We want a republic. We want the rule of law. And it's interesting that in Petro's speech, he mentioned none of that. He did not even mention Francisco Santander among the historical figures relevant to the Republic of Colombia, even though he is one of the founders, probably the most important founder of the country.
Therefore, we look upon this as an event that connects Petro to previous disruption, that would be Chavez, and to an embrace of an empire in Latin America, a left-of-center empire. Is that too grand for his thinking?
I don't think it's too grand, and I don't think it's just Petro. I mean, this is right in line with what Nicolas Maduro wants to do for Latin America, right in line with the whole Bolivarian Alliance, the ALBA, of what they've been attempting to do for the last 20 years. So this is a project that goes beyond Petro. Petro is obviously an important component of this. They've been trying to capture Colombia for pretty much the entire 21st century and even before. And I think they've now accomplished to be able to install not just, they call him the first leftist president. That's not what's important here. There's been leftist presidents in Latin America, and there's been leftist policies in Colombia for time. What's important here is he has a vision to take Colombia in a radically different direction that's much more autocratic than Colombia's ever experienced. And it's linking it to other authoritarian regimes, not just in Latin America, but in the world. Venezuela is going to be the first, but then we're going to see others such as Iran and such as Russia start to reengage Colombia in ways that we haven't seen in the past.
There were international attendees, including Samantha Power, who is the administrator of the U.S. Agency for International Development. So this is an important event for the United States and its allies. We therefore go to security because that is the challenge anybody in Latin America has these days, given the narco-terrorism gangs. I learned from reporting at the Wall Street Journal, Joseph, that two gangs are notorious and unacceptable conduct. The Gulf Clan, said to be right-of-center paramilitary, and the National Liberation Army, which I believe is the ELN, have said, according to the Wall Street Journal, that they are ready to engage the government in talks. Is this the FARC model that a previous government led to the, I guess, disarming of FARC? Is this a promise to Petro?
This is a blueprint that already was established by the FARC, as you correctly mentioned, John, to where you exchange a sort of demobilization and ceasefire in exchange for political projection, political power. In the case of the FARC, it gained them seats in the Colombian Congress, and it allowed them to basically essentially create a political party that isn't perhaps the biggest political party inside Colombia, but it has alliances that it can build inside the Colombian Congress, which include with the current president now, Gustavo Petro. But on the other part, what happened in the case of the FARC was it created a dissident movement that basically started all kinds of different border conflicts throughout the Colombia-Venezuela border and continued to destabilize the country to the benefit of the political elements that wanted a change inside Colombia, including Senator Gustavo Petro. So I don't see why the ELN or even the Clan del Golfo, which isn't an ideological criminal group, I don't see why they wouldn't follow this same blueprint because it pretty much works. It's all the benefits without really giving up any of your illegality. All you have to do is stop the killing and the homicides, but that doesn't mean you stop the drug trafficking, the oil smuggling, the extortion, all the other illicit activities to help create your revenue that makes you more powerful. And not to mention that these groups are transnational, meaning that they don't just operate in Colombia, they operate in neighboring territories and countries. So they're not going to stop what they're doing in the case of the ELN in Venezuela, even if they negotiate a peace agreement with Petro inside Colombia. So this is, I think, one of the things that can potentially empower these criminal groups to start to move into gain political power without abandoning their criminal activities. This could be a very bad thing for Colombia.
You mentioned the ELN. Your trip to the border with Venezuela last year was revelatory to me that the ELN operates transnationally and has sanctuary in Venezuela. Is that too strong a word? And Venezuela, no, as a failed state, prospers because of narco-terrorism and because it is buffeted from the ELN activity and in support of it. There was also mention of China and Russia cooperating in some fashion for communications and weapons along that frontier. Do we believe the ELN will now, in their demobilization, no longer raid into Colombia, that it will be called off?
Well, first, John, the ELN at this point is pretty much at least a binational, transnational criminal organization because it has just about equal, maybe not as much, but almost equal presence inside Venezuela as it does in Colombia through generations now where there's Venezuelans who are members of the ELN. They're not Colombian nationals, they're Venezuelan nationals. So they've become essentially to integrate these two countries in the illicit economy, in the illicit world. But I think the ELN is now the most powerful narco-terrorist group inside Colombia, but mainly because the dissidents of the FARC, their leadership has been pretty much dismantled both by the Colombian authorities, but also by the ELN itself. They've been clashing with the FARC over these last several months. What does this mean, John, I think, for this new government and for President Petro? What this means is this is going to provide an impetus for him to open negotiations with the regime inside Venezuela, the regime of Nicolas Maduro. Because if you want to have a successful demobilization and ceasefire with the ELN, you're going to have to take care of that problem inside Venezuela as well. And obviously, I don't think Gustavo Petro is going to do any military actions inside Venezuela. He's going to want to talk to Nicolas Maduro to be able to create some type of agreement that allows the ELN to get under control. But what that does is that opens up all kinds of possibilities for Nicolas Maduro to gain presence inside Colombia. So this is moving towards a direction, John, where you're going to start to see, I'm not saying in short order, but in, I think a lot shorter than people think, Venezuelan military presence inside Colombian territory and Colombian military presence inside Venezuelan territory under the banner of working towards peace on the ELN, but with the secondary effect of creating an illicit economy that's going to be so powerful, it'll pretty much integrate two countries even before they do so politically.
Joseph Umar is the executive director of Secure Free Society. We're speaking of the new president of Colombia. Two more items that are of great import in the process. One, the economy of Colombia and the region. And two, actors from outside the New World at the inauguration and in days ahead. I'm John Batchelor.